I'm Noelle King, in for John Hockenberry. The news cycle this weekend was dominated by President Trump's Middle East trip. But there was another big international story, a troubling one that you may have missed. The story was broken by our partners at the New York Times. U.S. intelligence officials say that between 2010 and 2012, at least a dozen CIA informants operating in China were jailed or killed by the Chinese government. What's unclear is how those informants were found out. Some say it was sloppy intelligence work by the CIA. Others think it must have been a double agent. Adam Goldman is a reporter with the New York Times. He's been covering the story. Adam, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
How did the CIA realize it was losing its informants in China?
Well, the way we understand it is in the last weeks of 2010, the agency started losing informants, agents, and that continued into 2011, and the rate picked up, and the CIA realized they had a problem and went to the FBI, and they opened up an investigation.
And presumably the CIA was in touch with these folks in China, and then what happened? Did they just stop checking in? Did the CIA learn what had happened right away?
Well, I think there were some low-level informants that they stopped hearing from, so that was of lesser concern. But then I think some prized informants began disappearing, and that's correct. They just stopped hearing from them, and that set off the alarm bells.
How essential are informants like these to the U.S. intelligence community? What kinds of information do they provide?
Obviously, the U.S. intelligence community collects what is known as signals intelligence. But, you know, to be able to have a spy penetrate the leadership of China's military or the government is extraordinarily important. I mean, they need, while you can intercept communication, it's vital to have somebody who can actually interpret those intercepts, somebody within the inner circle who can provide truth.
What did this network of sources look like in 2010, 2011, 2012? Do you have any idea whether a dozen informants is a large number of people, a small number on the whole?
Well, we were told that they lost between 18 and 20. Yeah, in a denied area, a hostile area like China, having that number of informants is extraordinary. Typically, you wouldn't see a number that large, certainly in a place like, you know, North Korea. But they had done phenomenal work there. One of the agency station chiefs who was there in, I guess, around 05, 06, had really laid the groundwork to recruit all these sources.
And what do your sources in the CIA think happened to their informants?
Well, there are two competing theories. One is that the encrypted method in which, or the covert method in which the agency was communicating with its informants in China was compromised. Or, in fact, the more disturbing one is there's a traitor at the CIA.
You say in your story that within the CIA, there was actually some reluctance to really believe that this could be an inside job, that they had been betrayed. Why was that? Is that very uncommon?
I think it's uncommon. I think there haven't been that many cases. If you look at the history of the CIA in which, you know, somebody from inside the agency actually sold out the agency. So after what happened with Aldrin Ames, who was selling secrets to the Russians, I think they'd like to believe that it wasn't someone, that it must be some other problem. I mean, it's hugely embarrassing. It's hugely embarrassing to have a traitor in your midst.
And yet you spoke to some people who told you, if I'm reading the story correctly, yeah, we think that might have been what happened.
Yeah, I have to tell you, there was a group who were adamant that, in fact, it was a spy. In fact, a former agency employee who is living in Asia now gave up these informants. And then there were some other people who felt it could have been a combination of the two. It might have just been that this covert method of communicating was compromised. But I have to tell you, there was a real strong belief among some people that somebody had betrayed the agency.
And is that leading to a fight, an interagency fight over what happened? I mean, this is a very high stakes incident. I would imagine the guys who are right would like to be proven right, so at least they know what happened.
I'm not sure I'd call it an actual fight now. I think certainly at the time there was some tension. And whether it's been resolved and this tension still exists, I'm not sure.
How long does a network of sources like the one you describe in your story take to build up? I imagine this is a years-long process. This isn't something that happens overnight.
Yeah, I mean, it could take months to a year or so to recruit somebody. You know, the agency, at least the people I know, have talked about how they recruit sources in China or Russia. It's a long-term recruitment. It's expensive. It involves a lot of legwork, and it's not easy to do.
This all went down. The reporting in your story covers the period 2010 to 2012. Do we know what has been happening with our informants in China in the past 5 years or so?
I'll just say that the agency has gone the great lengths to try to rebuild its network. I don't know the status of whether they've been successful or not.
Okay, so rebuilding is a priority. Can you give us some insight into how that happens? Does the CIA then have to go after all new individuals?
Yeah, they have to find people who they feel might work with the CIA. And like I said, that's a time-consuming process. And it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, I think to recruit great agents is, like I said, something that could take years.
Not an easy task. Adam Goldman is a reporter with the New York Times. He and his colleagues broke the story. Adam, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.